Time to join our Asia correspondent, Elizabeth Beattie. Elizabeth is a journalist at Thomson Reuters based in Hong Kong. And Hong Kong, Elizabeth, is where we will start. Bring us up to speed. I understand that the new national security measure for Hong Kong that had so many people so upset has been passed.
Yeah, good morning, Lynn. You're right. So yesterday, China's mostly rubber stamp government, the National People's Congress, voted 2,878 to 1 to approve Hong Kong's Beijing-led incoming national security bill. So this vote, which took place, is in favour of the standing committee drafting the bill's legislation, but it will likely be a few months before we actually get a sense of what the bill really looks like in detail. But we do know that this national security legislation will target subversion, foreign interference and terrorism. And it's important to think about this in the context of what that means for Hong Kong, as these are all terms which authorities have used to describe pro-democracy protests here. And the law, which has been referred to by some as, you know, the death of Hong Kong by activists and journalists, it could drastically change the city. As it's yet to be drafted, the details of the national security law are opaque, but at present we're seeing reports that the law could allow mainland security agencies to establish branches in Hong Kong. And I was speaking to a lawyer just the other day, and he was highly concerned about Hong Kong's legal autonomy in the future, and he described this bill as being far worse than the extradition law, which sparked widespread protests last year, and that was eventually scrapped. As for the other implications of the bill, we don't really know what these may be at this stage. Even those defending the bill and speaking in its favour aren't entirely sure of what the scope might be. So last weekend on Sunday, we saw quite a sizable protest here against the bill. And we kind of again saw those images of plumes of tear gas being shot by police and crowds out demonstrating in the city's busiest shopping districts. And we saw, again, umbrellas bloom, as it's referred to here, which is when you kind of see from overhead this kaleidoscope of colours as protesters suddenly open up their umbrellas. And then very quickly, tear gas was wielded and a water cannon was rolled out and these demonstrators scattered. But this was relatively...
Oh, Elizabeth, I think we might have lost you. Hi, Elizabeth, are you there? No, look, we'll try and get you back. Good old Skype. I'll read you some of the feedback, actually, that we've said. Oh, hi, Elizabeth, we've got you back. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hi, sorry, did I drop out for a moment?
You did, that's all right. Skype likes to keep you on your toes a little bit. So we were looking at those protest actions, I think, and recapping on those.
Yes, my apologies. On Sunday, we saw this very large protest here in response to the national security bill. And again, we kind of saw tear gas being used by police and crowds were kind of out demonstrating in one of the city's busy shopping districts. And we also saw umbrellas blooming, as it's referred to here, which is, you know, when the protesters open up their umbrella and overhead you see this kind of kaleidoscope of colours. But then very quickly we saw tear gas being wielded and a water cannon rolled out and those demonstrators scattered. But this was relatively peaceful compared to the scene we saw on Wednesday just past. So on Wednesday, the other Beijing-backed bill, the National Anthem Bill, was read in Hong Kong. And this is a bill that would make disrespecting the Chinese national anthem a criminal offence punishable by a 3-year jail term.
Because it's often, booed, isn't it, Elizabeth, what I hear?
It's my apologies. Am I repeating that?
Yeah. No, what I've heard is that because people might be thinking this is unusual, but I've heard that the Chinese national anthem is not uncommonly booed in Hong Kong.
Yes, in soccer stadiums in particular, it's become, I guess, like a Hong Kong pastime by some, where crowds kind of start booing the Chinese national anthem, because Hong Kong has its own national anthem, and for years that's been kind of an act of protest, but the Beijing government is attempting to kind of clamp down on that, and they're saying that they're going to really penalise those kind of signs of disrespect by, there'll be a 3-year jail sentence, basically, for people who disrespect the bill. And I guess people are still kind of testing that at this stage. The bill hasn't gone through yet. But yeah, we again saw a big protest action kind of in response to that, and pepper spray, tear gas, and a lot of secondary school children wearing school uniforms being led away into police vans was kind of one of those images that we saw on Wednesday just passed.
We've got a couple of minutes left. Really like to find out what the situation is in India. We heard about the lockdown, logistically very, very difficult, of course, for that populous nation. What's happening now?
Yeah, definitely. So kind of like New Zealand, India has had its lockdown, but now almost after 5 weeks, it's begun to ease the lockdown. And we're seeing the resumption of domestic flights and some are going back to work, and movement restrictions are being relaxed a little bit. But now the lockdown has helped slow the spread of the virus. Experts have said it did not flatten the curve and the number of cases is continuing to rise. So given the country's population size, the number who have died, around 4,000, is relatively small, but there's kind of concern about how these economic pressures are going to be balanced against health risks. Now, India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi has been grappling with the pressure from citizens, political parties and businesses, as well as those economic pressures to ease the lockdown. But whether it's actually whether this will actually be the end of India's lockdown, we don't really know at this stage, because the virus cases still continue to rise.
And meanwhile, Japan has ended its state of emergency, I think, and like us, like New Zealand, trying to boost domestic tourism.
That's right. So they are. The Japan government has kind of said they're planning to provide subsidies on flights and hotel rooms for travellers. And the phrasing of this was a little ambiguous. And initially, there was a lot of excitement from international travellers and a number of outlets kind of speculated that Japan would offer subsidies to international travellers as a way of kind of boosting tourism after the Olympics were postponed. But and quite a few of these publications kind of rushed out with a headline saying Japan will pay for part of your trip. But now Japan's official tourism agency has clarified that these subsidies will only be targeted towards domestic travellers.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Elizabeth Beattie reporting in from Hong Kong.